All right, welcome back to our second hour of tonight's program. As we turn the calendar to December, thanks to Dre Smith and the women's basketball program for tipping things off here. A very nice first hour. Really enjoying how the women are playing to start the new season at 5-2. Again, I can't thank everybody enough for coming out here on relatively short notice. We really weren't sure of our location up until today. And I want to thank everybody at Quaker Steak and Lube for being such a great host of this program, not just during our basketball season, but also earlier during our football campaign. But again, thanks to everybody for coming out here and showing your support like you've done each and every week from the end of August to now we'll go into early March. As we want to thank Coach Melissa Jackson, Coach Shayna Gore, and Erica King for their work on the first hour, and wish them all the best as they move into Horizon League play this weekend. We turn our attention now to the men's basketball program as we pick up with Penguin Playbook presented by Southwoods Health, now joined by the men's head coach, Ethan Faulkner. And it's December already. It's unbelievable how quick this goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously an exciting time of the year for us as we get into league play this week, and we got two really challenging games to play. And you know, excited about where we're at as a team, and even more excited about where we can get to. I still think we've got a long way to go with our team, and I say that positively. You know, obviously we feel like we've played some games where we played really well, and played some games where we didn't do as well, and lost some that we felt like we should win. But As you've heard me say a lot, I'm excited about the potential of this team. I'm excited about the improvements that we can make going forward, and really excited about the types of people we have in our locker room, because we're going to continue to get better with the types of characters of kids that we have.
The YSU men currently 4-4. They head into Horizon League play, much like the women. The guys are home, though, on Wednesday against Wright State before heading to IU Indianapolis on Saturday to play the Jaguars. The guys at 4-4 coming off a big win over Chicago State on Friday afternoon. Coach, you and I, as we've talked throughout the first eight games, when you guys execute – I don't know if there's a better team in this league. It's just when things go the way they're supposed to and the way they're scripted, it's a lot of fun to watch. And that's both offensively and defensively when the guys execute the way they're expected to.
Yeah, it's kind of been our message, our MO for our team is just discipline to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. And, you know, I thought we did that a lot of the game against Chicago State. Defensively, we were really locked in. You know, offensively, the way we shared the basketball was really pleasing to our staff. Obviously, you know, made a bunch of shots, and you know, I think we got a team that's capable of shooting the ball at a high level. But you know, when you get the quality of looks that we got because of the way that we moved the basketball and shared the ball, you know, we're going to be a team that shoots it pretty efficiently from three.
And I like that. Well, you made a couple of shots. You made 17 threes Friday against Chicago State, one short of tying the school record. So here's the big question for you. Once you got to 17, did you guys know that 18 was the school record and everybody was gunning for 18?
I did not.
You did not?
I did not know that. But over the last 6 minutes of the game, I think I'll get this right, we were 1-10.
Yes. It looked like you guys knew that 18 was the school record, and the guys were going for 18.
Well, if you look at our numbers, Schmitty, about 53% of our shots come from behind the line. That's sixth in the country. And, you know, I would like to see a little bit more balanced shot profile from our team, but, you know, we're shooting it at about 37% from three. We shoot the sixth most threes in the country. We limit the other team to the fourth best in the country in three-point attempts. You know, you guys know I'm a numbers guy. Yep. I really believe in the numbers. Any analytical guy will tell you if you shoot the six most threes in the country at somewhat of an efficient rate, and you don't allow the other team to shoot threes, and I think we're holding teams to 29% three-point field goal percentage defense, that's a recipe to have some success.
You know, and you and I have talked about the analytics. Coach Osborne kind of explained this whole thing to me. You know, what's a good shot, what's not. Around the basket's a good shot. He disdains the 15-foot jumper, feels that it's antiquated, does not belong in the game, at least in your offensive scheme, and you'd rather shoot a three than that. So when we talked prior to the Chicago State game, and you had mentioned that this is a team that doesn't like to shoot the three, Chicago Chicago State wants to get to the basket, shoot mid-range. I knew right there it was a recipe for your success, and it proved to be true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us shot profile-wise, we want 45% of our shots from three, 45% of our shots at the rim, only 10% in the mid-range. Again, I would like to see our team right now have a little bit more balance in our shot profile, you know, get some more shots around the rim, whether that's through drives or transition or throwing the ball in the post. You know, an area of improvement for us is offensive rebounding. We're not getting enough offensive rebounds. That'll generate some rim shots for us. But again, you know, we're shooting the ball really well from three, and again, as long as we're continuing to shoot 36-37%, and you know, we're going to let them go.
Coach, at halftime of the Chicago State game, you have a comfortable 20-point lead, and I say comfortable because you ended up winning that game going away. At half, what did you tell the guys despite having such that large lead?
Yeah, maturity and humility. We've been in this situation before. Let's handle it better than we handled it the last time. That takes maturity. That takes humility. And I thought we did that for the most part.
You know, much like Coach Jackson with a fairly new roster, you guys, all but four, are new to this roster. How much have you had as far as growing pains and guys still trying to find their role, find their niche, and this team find an identity?
Yeah, I think we're still growing as a team in that area. I mean, I don't think we're anywhere near where we can get to. I don't think we're anywhere near the potential of our team. But, you know, I told our guys, you know, potential is a scary word, right? That's who you can be. It's not who you are. And what we need to do is get better right now and then continue to improve. And if we'll just show up and work every day, and you know that's you guys heard me talk about that all last year. Whether we win, whether we lose, you know the outcome of that is no different in my mindset of what we're going to do the next day. And that's show up and work and get better. And if we'll continue to do that, we've got enough pieces on this team to hopefully make another run in March.
Coach, you had mentioned that to me after the game Sunday against UNC Greensboro. It's not really as much the wins and losses right now as it is who you are and who you want to be. And you've put together back-to-back performances now that are as good as you've had all year long, beating Georgia Southern and then the rout of Chicago State on Friday. It's good to see those guys kind of pick up on what you say and then make it fruition. No, bring it to truth.
Yeah, I mean, we got 15 guys in that locker room that's trying to do what we ask them to do. We haven't figured that out exactly what that looks like just yet all the time, but we're certainly making some progress. I think the last two games are steps in the right direction. There's certainly some things that we got to get better at on both sides of the ball, you know, offensively. You know, if you look at some of the numbers, which I did spent a lot of time with on Sunday, you know, when we get shots, we're like the 79th most efficient team in the country, but we turn the ball over 20% of the time. You know, we're averaging 80 points a game, and we turn the ball over one out of every five possessions. So we definitely got to get that cleaned up. And, again, some of that is just guys understanding what we need them to do. That's the connection of your team. That's role identity. All those things play a part in that. But those turnovers, if we can get them cleaned up, I think our offense will take a major jump.
I say we've moved into December, eight games into the books. It really is amazing how fast this time has gone from the tip on November 3rd at Pitt to where we are today. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it'll be a major emphasis at the end of the year. The win at Grand Canyon can, from now till the end of the year, can never be overstated how big of a win that really was for your team at such an early stage of the season in that type of an environment. And really for you as a young head coach, that's a signature win now, and it'll be that way because we were thinking back the last time something like that had happened, and that was winning at Georgia about 12 years ago. So, I mean, those don't come along very often.
Yeah, it's a great win. I mean, obviously Grand Canyon's a great program, but a team that's going to compete for an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament this year. You know, and again, I think coming out of that game, you know, you have to handle success well, right? You have to handle failures. You know, we humility is one of our core values, and that humility for us is it exudes confidence and eliminates arrogance, right? So we have to handle success well. We can't think we're sweet or we've arrived when we win a game. You can't lose your confidence when you lose a game. Again, part of that is just showing up the next day and going to work. And I don't know if we handled the success from that game as well as we could have. And obviously, I didn't think we played as well maybe the next week, week and a half after that game as we played in that game. So we have to do that better, more consistently. Again, handle the successes of the season, handle the adversities of the year, which we've had both through eight games, right? We've had some adversity. We've had some success.
Yep.
And just handle those things well and just show them, go to work.
You have not had a full roster at 100% since the season started. Finally, you know, Vlad Salaridze has come on now, and Vlad really had a good game for you Friday against Chicago State. I know you talked with him about the two games in Jacksonville. When he comes back and you get Vlad in the lineup, Tyler Robinette kind of tweaks his knee, and he's been less than 100%. Still, this team has found ways to kind of plug those holes when you need them.
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of depth. I think we've got a bunch of guys that can impact winning. You know, going all the way down our roster to Jaden Haynes, mm-hmm. who's a guy who's a good player that's just not getting a lot of time right now. We've got to find some times where we can get him some more game experience, get him out there, get him comfortable, because he's a guy that can really help us. You know, I think we'll have our full roster for the first time on Wednesday. Rich obviously turned his ankle in the game against Chicago State, but he did some non-contact stuff today. He'll practice full go tomorrow. So I do think we'll have our full roster on Wednesday, which is good.
You know, of all the kids that you had brought in out of the portal and those that you recruited, you know, much like Jaden Haynes out of high school, you had kind of talked about Rich Rolfe as maybe one of those hidden gems that you snatched out of the portal. And really, that's worked out very well. He's playing the most minutes of anybody on the team, and it might have changed a little since he had tweaked that ankle and didn't finish the game against Chicago State, but the effort he put together against Georgia Southern, the way he shoots the ball, what did you see in him when you went out and brought Rich back to Ohio?
Yeah, Rich simplifies the game. He doesn't do what he can't do, and he knows how to play, right? Makes other people better, does the dirty work, rebounds the ball, defends, and just keeps the game simple. He does what he does well the most, and what he doesn't do well, he doesn't try to do.
We're going to have a couple of players on in the second half hour as we talk with YSU head coach Ethan Faulkner here on Penguin Playbook. We'll talk with Bryson Dawkins. We'll talk with Drew King, two transfers into the men's basketball program. Excited to talk to both of those young men. They've made immediate impacts for you. Whatever you've asked them to do, they've done.
Yeah, excited about both those guys. Drew is he's playing starter level minutes. He's coming off the bench for us. Him and Janelle have kind of, you know, split that duties at the point guard. I think both of them present things to our team that are unique from the other. Drew does a great job of getting other people's shots. He's by far our best guy in assist turnover ratio. Mm-hmm. You know, 32 assists, 11 turnovers, almost 3-1 assist turnover ratio. Far and away better than anybody else on our roster. And from the point guard position, he rebounds the basketball, which is an area of weakness for us right now. So excited about him. Additionally, he really pushes and dictates our tempo in transition. I feel like a lot of times when he's in the game, our pace is picked up. So he's doing a really good job for us in that area. Bryson obviously has had some highs and lows so far as throughout the year, a guy that's still trying to figure out, you know, his niche on this team. Obviously a different role in terms of where he came from last year, where it was, you know, basically give me the ball and get out of the way and let me go get a basket. Certainly a little bit different here, where he's having to understand schematically what we're trying to do, how we're trying to move the ball, how we're trying to play in space. You know, he's still trying to figure that out. What I love about Bryson is he's one of the best human beings I've ever coached. Wants to be coached hard, shows up every day and goes to work. But he's definitely making some progress in some of those areas that we need him to improve in. Obviously, we recruited him here to be an all-league player and to be a big-time player, and he's gradually getting there. I would mm-hmm. like to see him take a bigger jump here over the next couple of weeks in what we're really trying to coach him to do better.
I know we've talked about a lot of the newcomers, but the two mainstays that came back was Jason Nelson, who you talked about teaming up in the backcourt with Drew King, and Chris Carroll, who was a preseason Horizon League first team honoree. He's living up to that billing, Coach.
Yeah, Chris is playing great. I, you know, my only complaint with Chris is taking care of the basketball a little bit better, like a lot of the guys on our team. You know, he's got a negative assist turnover ratio, but he's shooting the ball great. He's generating a lot of really good offense for us. He's made drastic improvements on the defensive end of the floor. We don't have to take him out of the first half of every game because he's got two fouls this year. So he's made some really drastic improvements on the defensive end of the floor. Really pleased with where Chris is at. Certainly, you know, living up to that billing of an all-league guy early in this season. And then Jay Nell, probably our most consistent defender in terms of executing what we want him to do, executing our principles on the defensive end. You know, again, he's another guy that's going to push our pace and dictate our tempo in transition. Got a lot of trust from our team. You know, he's got to shoot the ball better from three. He was shooting it great, you know, early in our preseason, and he had the thumb injury that knocked him out for about 3 or 4 weeks. Hasn't got back to shooting the ball as well as he was then, but again, he's a guy that's in the gym working on that, and again, but pleased with where both those guys are.
You know, the one thing I've noticed about the players is that they don't shy away from some of their shortcomings. I've even joked with Chris about foul trouble. He obviously knows it. He's heard it. You guys have preached to him, stay out of foul trouble. I know when we were boarding the plane heading to Jacksonville, I gave him my seat, which was one of those exit seats, a little more leg room, and I said, I'll give you this as long as you don't pick up two fouls in the first 30 seconds. He didn't, but it's that kind of young man that doesn't get pissed off when you say that to him.
Yeah, I mean, we you know, after the Greensboro game, our guys had a team meeting by themselves and took ownership for what had happened and areas of improvement for our team, which I thought was really good. And, you know, trying to continue to have some of those conversations that we had after that game to make sure that, you know, we don't have that sick feeling again where you lose a game that you know you should have won. And, you know, trying to just stay urgent with that, trying to keep that in the forefront of our mind of, you know, why are we having success the last two games, and let's continue to do that well.
Talking about the Penguins head coach Ethan Faulkner on Penguin Playbook. Just a reminder, the YSU women will be at Beagley Center finally December 16th. Coach, we got to wait till December 16th for your squad to come back home. They will open up their Horizon League home schedule against Wright State. That game tips at 6:30. YSU students will get a free T-shirt. First 100 get a free chicken sandwich courtesy of Chick-fil-A in the Tiffany Square Plaza. Get your tickets early by calling 330-9411-YSU. You can always go online to get your tickets as well for YSU men's and women's basketball at YSUsports.com. When we come back, we'll take a look at the YSU men's first two Horizon League opponents as they tip off league play Wednesday at home against Wright State. We'll come back with more as we are coming to you live from the Quaker Steak and Lube in Boardman with Penguin Playbook on 1390 WNIO. All right, welcome back to Penguin Playbook, presented by Southwoods Health. At Southwoods, it's not just about the treatment, but how you're treated. Southwoods, proud to be locally owned and operated by the Moransky family and area physicians. We continue tonight with the YSU Basketball Coaches Show, talking with the Penguins head coach Ethan Faulkner as the men prepare to begin Horizon League play. They will host Wright State this Wednesday night at 6:30 in Zidon Family Arena at Beagley Center before going to IU Indianapolis to play the Jaguars on Saturday. Coach, I know Dre asked Coach Jackson this for you. Eight games into the season now, you got to kind of change your philosophy a little bit. Everybody realizes every game is important, but these league games take on a little added importance. Do you like playing them so early in the year?
Not really, to be honest with you, Schmitty. I don't. You know, we had league meetings this May and talked about 20 different scenarios of how we could do this league schedule to make it work for everybody. We talked about adding two games to league schedule. We talked about taking two games away from the league schedule, talked about playing in the first semester, not playing. And, you know, this was what we come up with. Some teams only have two league games in the first semester. We have three. But I guess the most important thing is for our players to understand the importance of every one of these games. You know, every position when it gets to the end of the year, every seed line, 1 through 12 or 11, how many ever teams are in our league now, is going to come down to one game. And how the conference tournament has changed, you know, we've always talked about, you know, we're obviously in this thing to win regular season championships and tournament championships, but the barometer was you had to be in the top four to get those home games and get those first round byes. Now it's even more important to be in the top three, because once you get to Indy, if you're not in the top three, you've got to play three games in three days opposed to two games in 2 days. So there's a lot of different dynamics this year with our league that are important, and we educated our players on that yesterday about what that looks like and how close the race is going to be coming all the way down the wire.
When you talked about the new playoff or tournament structure in the offseason. Your thoughts on how this kind of evolved from, you know, where it was a first-round game on Tuesday, they were ready to turn around. Those winners came back, and they were on the road Thursday, and then you had the weekend before you went to Indianapolis. Some people felt, you know, it was that weekend off kind of changed your feeling going into Indianapolis. What was the thought, your thought process with this new tournament format?
Well, I like a couple things. I like that, you know, five teams get to go to Indy now rather than four. So an additional team gets the experience of being in Indy and experiencing the conference tournament there, which is unique, mm-hmm. You know, a great experience. Our league does a great job with that. And I like the fact that, you know, when we had those first-round byes, you know, some teams that you were playing would be coming off a game on Tuesday, and a lot of times, you know, the year we lost when we were the number two seed, you know, we didn't play for 7 days.
Yeah,
I like that we don't have that long gap between your last regular season game and your first conference tournament game to where, you know, at that time of year, practicing 4 or 5 days in a row, you know, sometimes can just get stale. I mean, it just is what it is. It's the end of the year. Guys are ready to compete. And I didn't think that year when we had that long gap, we played we had our best performance. And maybe that was the reason why, maybe not. But I like the 2 to 3 day preps rather than the 5 or 6 day preps leading into your conference tournament.
When you look at how these teams are faring in the league so far in non-league play, the net came out today mm-hmm. for the men. First time that's come out. It had you at 180. Right now, Oakland at 115. They had the best net. You want to be obviously like the top 25. Lower number is better. Green Bay, who we've talked about even last year under head coach Doug Gottlieb, at 199. The balance in this league outside of the early struggles for Detroit Mercy and Cleveland State, very balanced, maybe more balanced than I expected.
Yeah, I think the net rankings is a little bit skewed this time of year. A lot of, you know, Oakland obviously is getting credit for playing a lot of those high major mm-hmm. games. And, you know, some of them they've been in, some of them they hadn't. You know, if we would have kept our starters in the game against Chicago State and won that game by 35 points rather than 23 points, we would probably be 20 spots higher in the net today than we were if we subbed those guys out. So there's a lot of factors, point differential, strength of schedule, a lot of different things factor into that. But to your point, I think we have a lot of depth in our league. I think the teams last year at the bottom, you know, the Green Bays and those teams, you felt very comfortable that you were going to win those games. I don't think there's one team nope. in our league this year that, you know, you're just going to show up and win games. More balance, more depth, and then obviously the top of the league, like it always is really good.
One of the teams you get to face right off the bat this week is Wright State. They come to town Wednesday at 6:30. The Raiders are always a difficult opponent in this league. Head coach Clint Sargent now in his second year. They've played better. They were expected to play better early in the season. A lot of the experts really, really liked what they had coming in. I think it's like everybody else when you go to the portal and you have the transfers. There's a lot of unknown, but they've had some guys really play well. Ogmeribe has played really well early for them. One of their redshirt freshmen has played well. When you see Wright State, what jumps out at you?
Yeah, I think Wright State's always been very, very good offensively. They've been a team that scored the ball at a high level. You know, even last year with a team that wasn't as good as maybe they'd been in the past, they were still a really good offensive team, and I think they are again this year. It's very evident as you watch them play that they're trying to flip the switch and establish an identity of toughness. You know, obviously defensively is what's held them back the last few years from being a more successful team, and you can tell just watching their coach and his mannerisms and how he's coaching their team that they're really trying to establish an identity of toughness and guarding people. But again, a really good team, a team that's playing very well, you know, played a very, very competitive game with Butler all the way up until about the last 6 or 7 minutes of the game, took Kent State to overtime. So a team that's very, very dangerous, going to play well to win it.
And they've played at Cal. Played Toledo, albeit at home. Lost to the Rockets, though. They beat Radford. That's one of those games I think they were expected to win big, and they did. So that sometimes that's not as easy as it said when you're supposed to beat a team sizably, and they did that against Radford. Do they possess the size inside that maybe is needed in this league to succeed for the entire season?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got some guys that can certainly throw the ball around the rim too. Number 33, I don't know how you say his last name, but he's playing very well.
I knew you were going to ask me that, but that's why I looked it up when we were sitting in the back there. It's Michael Ugg Maribe.
Yeah, whatever you said, Schmitty, that guy. I looked
at the phonetics.
He's playing really well, big physical kid. Holden's playing well, another big physical kid. They've got some kids, some forwards like us that can stretch the floor and play more stretch fours. They're always going to have four guys on the floor that can pass, dribble, and shoot. They're very similar to us in that standpoint. They definitely have guys that can throw a ball around the rim too, but the whole key to the game plan is Cooper and Callahan. Those guys are guys that can really score the basketball. Cooper's a true freshman. They've kind of handed him the keys to the car and given him a lot of freedom to be out there and be a guy that they count on to score a lot of baskets for him. Callahan's a guy coming back off their team from last year who's shooting the ball really well. Defending them two guys and defending the three collectively against their team will be key to the game.
I mean, we look at numbers a lot, and really Wright State's numbers are very similar to yours. I don't know, though, are the two teams that similar?
I think we certainly have some similarities with our personnel. Again, four guys, they're going to play almost always four guys. They'll play Holden and number 33 together sporadically, but almost always going to have four guys that can pass it, dribble it, and shoot it. They're shooting a three at about 37%, mm-hmm. taking a lot of them. Cooper and Callahan, again, two guys that can really score the ball a lot of different ways, but particularly from behind the three-point line.
And much like you, they're defending the three very well, only giving up 27% from beyond the arc. So that's why I asked. It just seemed like the numbers were very, very similar in how you kind of worked your way to this point of the season. And we'll talk with a couple of players. We're going to talk with Bryson Dawkins and Drew King here in the next half hour as we continue to talk with Penguins head coach Ethan Faulkner about his upcoming game against Wright State. These are one of those games, though. Is it like a boxing match, that first 4 minutes before you get to that first media time, trying to feel each other out?
Yeah, I think it will be. I mean, I think – that's like every game. Obviously, how you start the game is important. How you play each possession is important. But, again, our whole identity has got to be involved in what we're doing right now. Obviously, scouting, understanding other teams' tendencies, understanding what we're going to have to guard, what we're going to play against on the defensive end of the floor is important for our guys to understand. But so much more important to us, and what needs to be more important to us is how we're doing things, how we're executing, how we're doing what we're coached to do. We do those things well, and I'll take our chances against everybody on their schedule.
After Wright State, you head to Indianapolis, play Saturday afternoon against IU Indy, a team that, has caught a lot of people's attention because of the way they score. I mean, they're putting up 90, 95, 100. On the flip side, they're giving up 90, 95, 100. You guys are familiar with that style of play. I'm sure Coach Osborne is as well. Their head coach comes out of the Mountain East and, has a very distinct style of play.
It's going to be chaotic, Schmitty. It's going to be chaotic. Number one tempo in the country. They're going to press us 94 feet for 40 minutes. Made shot, missed shot, free throws, different types of presses. We're going to have to handle that well. But I do feel like we've got maybe as good as advantage of any team in our league because of Coach Richmond and Coach Osborne, who was in that league for many years, has played against him. Coach Osborne, the last several years he was at University of Charleston. Actually, he had a ton of success against West Liberty, which is where Coach Halleck came from. But got a lot of respect for him and what he's doing. And obviously he's married to a style that is difficult to play against. I think he's going to get that thing going there. At some point, obviously, again, he took a lot of kids from West Liberty with him, and he was trying to piece that thing together during this offseason. But they've got good players, and they play exceptionally, exceptionally hard. And again, just a style that can be really difficult to play.
Yeah, they've become, I don't know, maybe, could, but they have definitely become a thorn in the side of a lot of teams in this league. I mean, they just got a nice win over Morehead State, 85-80. Mm-hmm. They pushed Ohio State in the opener when both teams went over 100. That opened up a lot of eyes. And you got to go there, mm-hmm. and you're going to play in the jungle. So you guys have been road tested. But, again, we'll see how, when league play comes, we'll see how that all ratchets up.
Yeah, we'll have to take care of the ball against them. And one of the biggest underlying stories to that game will be understanding what's a good shot versus what's a great shot.
Lastly, as we talk with head coach Ethan Faulkner from the YSU men's program, we just came from Thanksgiving. You got a great win Friday afternoon over Chicago State. What'd you and the family do for the remainder of the weekend?
Any of you guys get that fried turkey I made, Bryson or Drew? You guys eat any of that? So we had deep fried two turkeys.
Really?
We had some friends over and some of the guys come over who didn't have anywhere else to go, and made a big meal, and we ate good and watched some ball and just hung out with each other.
I heard fried turkey is the best way to go.
Fried turkey,
if you know what
good.
You're doing, right?
I'm a big I'm one of my specialties is gumbo. So I made
really?
So I made a good gumbo for the guys, and
is that a Kentucky recipe or is that just a Cajun
dish?
Really?
It was good. Yeah.
How about that? Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend. We wish you all the best this week.
Thanks, guys.
That's the Penguins head coach Ethan Faulkner as they get ready to take on Horizon League play this week starting Wednesday at Wright State. When we come back, I'm looking right at him. We're going to have Bryson Dawkins on. He'll be the first of our two student athletes to join us in the final half hour as we continue with Penguin Playbook live from Quaker Steak and Lube in Boardman on 1390 WNIO.